said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy!
Welcome back to Flyover State of Fear. You got Brian and myself this week. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I'm good. It's I know this won't come out for a bit, but it's slightly, you know, Jersey's weather's changing slightly. So the sun has finally come out. Is Ohio get some sun at all?
Yeah, we had a little sun finally last week, but you know, don't get too excited. The groundhog said 6 more weeks of winter.
Didn't the groundhog say early spring?
No. Saw his shadow. That's 6 weeks of winter, dude.
No, he said early spring.
No. I double-checked. We're not doing it. Don't get on your... If you Google, I'm going to quit the show. I'll quit the fucking show.
Actually,
I need to look this up. Hold on. Let's stop.
Is there that... Why hasn't...
Bro, we're talking about the weather, which is just terrible.
It's terrible banter.
Awful.
I was a bit with the coffee cup and the... it's tea, actually.
I'm doing it ironically. God.
Yeah, I was doing a bit. Speaking of a bit, wait. Groundhog's Day doesn't count, but there's never been a Groundhog's Day, like, actual horror movie, right? Like, the movie, the concept is a fucking horror movie, but I mean, like, a groundhog.
Yeah, I mean, they've used the concept of the movie, like, the repeating day thing. That's
freaky,
become more than
like,
a couple times now.
Totally.
But as far as, like, a groundhog's theme, I'm sure there is one. There's one for everything. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's some asylum trash, but as far as, like, a mainstream movie that you would actually watch, probably not. No.
Like, that'd be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do with it, really.
Some sort of like...
Maybe giant mutant groundhog?
Yeah, like a groundhog
monster,
sees a shadow
groundhog
and then
monster.
Something like just fucking terrorizing a small Pennsylvania town.
Eating guys who are dressed up in weird top hats and whatever.
Yeah, that puddle right there.
That sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's like I think you could make a... Like, look at, like, something like Zombievers, right? Like, that's a fun ass.
There you go.
Like, it knows it's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of Zombievers, have you watched anything recently?
You know, I actually do think my horror watching has been a little light. Or I'm also getting worse about tracking things and putting things into Twitter when I'm watching them. So I forget.
I remember, like... Last night, I was like, ooh, Brian's taking this opportunity of not recording to be active. And I forgot which interview with a vampire?
No. Last night was, last night I watched, that had to be a little while ago. I watched a movie called The Conference 2 days ago. It's on Netflix. It's a slasher. It's got a guy in a mask and a bunch of people. It's a Swedish movie, but it was dubbed, you know, and it's a bunch of people at like a work retreat. Who start getting picked off, you know. And it's fun. It was a fun kind of by the numbers, but nothing wrong with that slasher movie.
Yeah, that's cool. I watched kind of the same. No, it was like ish. I think this was on Shudder. Destroy All Neighbors I watched recently.
Okay.
It was a like Evil Dead kind of American Werewolf in London kind of inspired movie. Like, it's with that comedian Jonah Ray, the one who did a bunch of that Nerdist shit.
Okay.
Back in the day. I think you'd recognize the voice. He was always on the Nerdist. Basically, it's Shudder, like low budget. It was pretty fun. He is a musician who ends up like killing his neighbor, and then he starts talking. Every person he ends up killing, he ends up talking to, like
Ryan Reynolds picture of Voices.
Kind of. It was a little, but it was very like that slapsticky where like, and then they help him finish his metal album. Okay. Yeah, it was very like a Gonzo movie, you know, like it was fine. It had moments to it. Like there was one thing in it with this old lady who then dies, and she's just like an awesome like claymation or real, like not claymation, but like real effect skeleton who's just like funny. But that was a recent kind of horror-ish. I was like trying to feel out some Shudder releases.
Yeah, Shudder's got some good stuff. You just got to sift through, you know?
Yeah, Shudder definitely gets...
Sometimes they make movies.
And one
their
of
movies
them.
Come out and we watch them. This is a rare kind of new release for us.
Yeah.
We don't often cover new movies. Like, we very rarely cover anything that's, like, in the theater.
What was the last new release we covered?
On this show?
On this show.
Nothing. Never.
Like, never done it. I don't think there's anything that's been released that me and you were like, doesn't mean it won't be one day.
Yeah. Well, this one got my attention. It got some heavy promotion when it was, like, getting its theatrical run. I think it probably played some festivals and stuff, but it's supposedly a tribute to the films of Stuart Gordon, who made Reanimator and other weird, horny horror movies.
Yeah, I think that's very apparent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they weren't, like, trying to be subtle about it. That was, like, on Front Street. This may even, I'm not sure, I didn't do any research, and Joe usually does, and he didn't either, so I'm just going to say things, and you should look them up. If you're watching
well,
now, you're wondering
I,
if
no,
the thing
I,
I'm saying
I
is
have
true.
I have two fun fact notes.
Oh, okay.
So I did
corrected.
Do research
this is
yesterday. I didn't take notes on this episode. Spoiler, but I still remember the whole thing, because it was watched today.
He knows everything about it, this guy.
Everything.
Tuned in.
So, no, this film is an adaptation of a 1933 short story, The Thing on the Doorstep by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, obviously.
Screenwriter Dennis Pollo previously adapted H.P. Lovecraft stories for the 1980s films Reanimator and Far and From Beyond.
From Beyond. That's the one I couldn't think of, where a guy has like a little pineal gland that looks like a dick coming out of his head.
All starring Barbara Crampton.
Yeah.
And a lot of dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well... I was wondering if this was something, it's cool that they got the same writer that worked with Stuart Gordon. I didn't know this was ever something that Stuart Gordon was planning to adapt and maybe couldn't.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I was thinking about. Like, sounds like the type of fact you might hear, but if you did a little research and you didn't come across it, that would be like, that would be at the top of the trivia.
Well,
that would be right up there.
The one thing it's not even I came across and you're talking about the filmmaker itself. Is if you go to Letterboxd, it's interesting because it's just like it's the new way of like movies.
Sure.
The first one in the comments reading is, yeah, I made this movie and I'm damn proud of it. Got a problem with that, pal? I've been in New York all week. Sorry. That's like what he wrote.
Yeah.
5 stars for surviving the shoot and everyone involved in this flick. We hope you dig. You know, just thank you to everyone, love or hate. I'm happy you watched it. Other notes, sexy mustache orderly, maybe too much. I guess he was.
Is that orderly. That? Is that the director?
That's the director, Joe Lynch. And
Joe
I was
Lynch.
Like, that. I was like, that's pretty cool that he logged it on Letterboxd and was just like, I made the movie.
Yeah.
Here it is. Like,
well, I think this is. It's pretty clearly. Regardless of where you fall on it, clearly a labor of love. The people involved with it are enjoying themselves and they're making something. There's like some passion to it. The only thing I'm familiar with Joe Lynch, I'm just looking a quick, is Mayhem. Did you ever see Mayhem? It's a Steven Yeun movie. There were like two movies that came out around the same time that were about like office. They were like set in office buildings that
like
they were like
Belko Experiment.
Yeah, there was the Belko Experiment, and then there's Mayhem was like another one that was similar to that.
No, I think I could visualize the, let's see. No, I'm not familiar. I was going to say I could visualize the poster, but...
Either way, that's the only thing I've seen.
Everly. Oh, no, he's acting in that. Is he acting in that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I was going to say, I'm familiar with this movie, which is a Selma Hayek shoot 'em up movie. Called Everly.
Okay. I've never seen that, but I believe
I'm familiar with that.
That's when everybody was getting a Taken right after Taken was
big. Yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
I watched that on cable or something at some point. Other than that, not familiar.
No.
But so I do want to say, let me just read this synopsis, but before I will give you my positives before we start on the forefront, full cards on display. Wasn't too much of a fan of the movie itself, and I'll get into that, but Suitable Flesh. Psychiatrist Elizabeth Derby becomes obsessed with helping a young patient who is suffering from extreme personality disorder. However, it soon leads her into occult danger as she tries to escape from a horrific fate.
Sure. That sounds about right.
The movie for me, I was excited to watch it because, like I said, we get like these Shudder originals.
It came in pretty hot. Like I said, I had heard some pretty good.
No, buzz I heard a good thing about it. Buzz, like the horror journalists and horror accounts were pretty pumping it up.
But again, we've talked about too the positivity of horror community is sometimes a double edged sword.
Yeah,
it's hard to judge objectively with them sometimes.
And that's where like I'm a victim of it for myself. And it has a cool poster. Like it has a very like
chic, great looking poster.
And it also has Heather Graham going for me. I've always liked Heather Graham. I think she's she was so well used, like when she's someone who was like used perfectly in movies, like she shined, right? Like Bowfinger and Boogie Nights and
Austin Powers,
those few years. And I mean, even her small role, I remember she pops up in The Hangover and it's like, oh shit, there's Heather Graham. She hadn't worked in a while. She was awesome in this movie. Her and Barbara Crampton, I think, were really like two stars.
You can definitely see why she would want to take this role. I also think it's nice to see her like going back to her Hornet roots. She's like, no, I do horny movies. That's
she
what
does
I'm about.
Do a lot like, of, and she does them well.
That's what I'm about. And that was, you know, good for her. She knows her strengths and she plays to her strengths. The movie starts with a framing device of like her in the asylum and Barbara Crampton comes in to visit her. And then she kind of tells her the story in that classic, like, how did I get here sort of way. I thought at the time I was like, oh, this is a nice way to, so Barbara Crampton's going to be in this and then she'll pop up in the end. And that's
what I thought
gonna,
too. That's...
Right. But then she actually becomes a pretty big part of the movie. So I was pretty excited about that when she started like middle of the movie, she starts coming in more and more and I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah,
excellent.
The main male, the kid,
mm-hmm.
Comes to her. Yeah, but I thought the same thing, Brian. I thought it was going to be like how like Robert Englund will show up for like a shit ton of these like low budget horror movies, and
they want him so they can put his name on the front and his picture. But he's showing up for he's in the movie for about 5 minutes, and he's filmed all the scenes in one day. He's peppered throughout, but he's barely in it.
Yeah, and he's there just enough too, so like the cast and crew be like, the greatest guy I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
That was a good, I actually watched that recently too. The Robert Englund, documentary just about his life and career.
Oh no, I don't think I've seen that.
I think
what's
it's called,
it
was on Prime. It was called Hollywood Nightmare. It might even be on Shudder too. I think it's called Hollywood Nightmare and Dreams. Something like that.
Oh,
very, you know,
I could definitely probably get Sarah to watch that with
oh,
me.
You guys would eat it up. Very like interesting, just actor's life, you know. And
oh, absolutely. I love Robert Englund. I love hearing about, especially people who play an iconic role like that, like what they did before that, and then like how that affected them going forward and stuff. That's always an interesting story.
Yeah, know? from what that one is, he just embraced it eventually, but he fought against it after a certain point, and like,
oh sure, I'm sure,
did a bunch of shit. I'm looking because I'm checking to see if my double feature was that. I'm pretty sure I watched that movie second, and before that, I watched the Albert Brooks.
I did watch the Albert Brooks one. That
it was
great.
It was that, and then I was like, ooh, yeah, no, I'm feeling this like
That's very film bro. Like I'm gonna watch the Albert Brooks and then the Robert Englund doc back to back. That's
I'm feeling
very
this, yeah, it rule. It was so I watched that very recently. back to Subtle Flesh. Yeah, so it was nice to see Barbara Crampton and the kid, let's get his name right. Asa.
The actor's name was what, Judah something?
Judah Lewis. He's essentially a, you know, the Scream King in his own right. Is he was the boy in, from the Babysitter movies.
Oh, okay.
And
they made two of those, didn't they?
There was two of the, yeah, the Babysitter, Killer Queen, which was fine. And then Summer of 84.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm a big fan of. And
yeah, that's a good
main,
one too.
I think he's the main, which we should cover one day. He's the main kid in that. And then also, for Christmas fans, he's the, Christmas Chronicles, the bad boy.
The older brother. Okay.
Yeah, so he's only in a couple things. So I was like, because he was like, you look really familiar. And at first, I thought he was one of those Australian kids from Better Watch Out. And I was like, no, it's not that kid. So there's faces we've seen before.
Sure.
And then, I mean, even his father looked familiar, Bruce Davidson.
Oh, Bruce Davidson's in everything. I was going to say,
yeah. Sure,
let's just talk about the movie instead.
Yeah,
of just, you know,
let's talk about the movie.
Get into it. It's fine. Yeah. So you get the classic setup. This is a classic Pass the Curse movie, right? She starts telling Barbara Crampton. Yeah, there's body switching, but it's a pass on the curses in like a curse. Like the ring or something. It's like,
talk to me.
Yeah, the kid comes into her office. Help! Help! I need, you know, and then he has like a seizure, and then he switches, and he's clearly a different personality, and she's like all excited. Ooh, this is so intriguing. He's a subject. He's such an interesting subject. And we see her at home, and she's got like a really like she's got like a hunky husband, but he's kind of boring, right?
Yeah, like, he's like. Fine, right? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, he's like a handsome dude and he's in good shape and everything, but like
salt and pepper,
he's
just hair,
a little bland.
Like,
he's just like a little bland. You see him having some like kind of pretty passionless sex, and then she starts fantasizing about this greasy little dweeb that she only met one time, which is so weird to me.
And well, that too is what's also interesting, right? The creepy kid.
Yeah.
Is it not a stud, right? So it's nothing you'd imagine someone's right. gonna fantasize about. That's also why I'm like, oh, there's some sort of spell on it. But she's visualizing, well, yeah.
It's clearly, yeah, she's getting some kind of vibe from him.
Oh, I just went to the husband's IMDb, not IMDb, his wiki and his things. He works. He's worked for years. He is a. He must be a just. And I mean this in endearing terms. Movies like this, just like trash.
Oh yeah.
Just things called like Dark Circles, Angels Falls. I guess one of the Prom Night remakes, Quarantine. Hell, he's a horror.
Yeah, he's just the guy who does horror movies.
He was in The Sweetest Thing, uncredited. So anyway, yeah, he's worker, but yeah, they're passionate. He's not that passionate. But what you mentioned them that like this is erotic. Except for Infinity Pool, this is also the first. I was surprised how erotic this movie was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew
it was because of Subtle Flesh, it's not really.
Because it was a Stuart Gordon movie, I knew it was going to be horny, but it's also like. Yeah, like you said, trying to be a little more like passionate, like sensual at times.
So this is my big, and I don't think this is on purpose. Those scenes, yeah. Majority of them, are from the Tommy Wiseau sex scene school.
Yeah,
not looking at Heather Graham and some of those shots. Like that is just it, like. From like the music present to the like the camera's real cheap,
yeah.
To like the lighting, it was all
I thought it felt very the daytime soap opera. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from it.
Melodramatic. Or Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, that was my, it was like there was a few things I'm like, oh, this is very Room-like of how long we're lingering. This, yeah. the only I guess fortunate part, there's no Tommy Wiseau, like, weird HGH body ass on the screen.
Right. They at least, everybody's at least in a position where sex could be happening.
Yeah, that
not
poor
like
girl
in the room.
That poor girl in the room.
So she gets the call from the kid, help, help again, you know. She goes to his house, which is like where his dad lives. Mm-hmm. And in their session, he had kind of implied that his dad was like after him, but it's very vague. Like, and he gets interrupted by his seizure possession thing, his what she thinks is personality switch, you know. Mm-hmm.
And the seizure, like, it's very focused on the hands, and it almost looks to the point where, like, truly, I knew nothing about this movie. I didn't even realize it was, like, Stuart Gordon thing. I knew the Barbara Crampton connection.
Yeah.
Where I was like, it's like, they're like werewolf thing. Like, they're like stretching.
Yeah, they're
out.
Doing the, like, yeah, kind of like finger, you know,
yeah,
kind of twitchy.
Like,
and I don't know if that's because, if that's, like, supposed to be a thing that's associated with whoever the spirit is, the original spirit.
Yeah, I think it's just a tell. Like, if
yeah,
it's
like a
like
tell.
That.
Exactly.
Because.
There's a couple tells. There's the hand. He also, whenever they're possessed by whatever is this, rolls his own cigarettes. He's always doing the little cigarettes.
I like that. I did like cigarettes. That touch. That was a nice little quirk, character quirk. But at first, if I was taking notes, it would have been, are we going to get a werewolf movie or like a monster movie? Because they cut away after the first time it happens in the office.
Yeah. So she's at, she goes to his house, and that's where we get our wild, as I hear here, a wild Bruce Davidson appears. If you're not a Bruce Davidson fan, Davidson, you might know him from the first X-Men movie. He was the senator who turns into a water blob. He's in Seinfeld. He's the guy who runs Susan's foundation after she passes away, which is, you know, which.
My favorite.
Messes with George. He's also in Lords of Salem, which is a movie we might cover someday.
Yes, my favorite thing about you, Brian, or one of them, of being a host and doing podcasts with you now for, I don't know, what's the better part of 6 years?
Yeah.
Is your deep, deep, deep knowledge of character actors or side characters, or like, and like knowing their name and then being like Seinfeld. They're all in Seinfeld.
Everybody's in Seinfeld. My wife does it with X-Files or Golden Girls. Like, if you're if you're an older actor, she's gonna clock you from the Golden Girls or from X-Files.
So that's a big one, the X-Files. So anyway, I love talking and bringing up. I remember the first.
Oh,
thing.
I love. I'm just a big fan. I like Bruce Davidson. I think he's a good actor. I think he's like a fun actor. I like when he pops up in things. Mm-hmm.
That was a good.
And he's doing a fun performance here because he's doing that thing where like. Everybody who's possessed has to act a certain way, so you get to see that kind of persona portrayed by different people. So it's fun. He's getting to be kind of sleazy and stuff, you know.
They kind of have the way the original person is, right? We don't know the name of the possessed person that's jumping body to body.
Right, we never find out. In fact, I think when she confronts him about it, he doesn't seem to remember. He's
no,
been doing
he doesn't.
It so long, he kind of does not, you know.
There's the question of, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure I was born a man, but I like jumping into, you know, like jumping in any body, and I feel like a woman sometimes. The man, like, it was a pretty good scene. Yeah, the spirit acts very much like Charles Lee Ray. Like, it has like a Chucky kind of vibe. Like, I feel like there was inspiration from like a Brad Dourif cadence when the main vessel is playing him, and it reminds me not of like Chucky, but of like Brad Dourif.
Yeah, kind of younger, sleazier Brad Dourif. Yeah, I can see that absolutely.
But yeah, sorry. Go on with because that's a great. She's talking to him, and she's trying to basically get to the bottom because she can't get this kid out of her head. So she wants to help.
Yeah, so she's trying to figure out what he needs help and like. Even what's going on with the dad, how is he abusive? What is it? And she has a conversation with him. She doesn't really get, but she does manage to cut herself and bleed into his magic Cthulhu book a little bit. So, you know, that's going to be bad news, you know? And while he's there, while she's there, does he switch that time? I don't think so. And then she leaves because we have another scene with her at her office where she's with a different patient. And I loved this. I thought it was really funny at the time. It ends up being an okay plan and payoff. But in the moment, I thought it was very funny how quickly she switched into hypnosis. She's just doing like regular talk psychiatry. You know, guys like talking and getting mad. And you think he might be talking about wanting to punch his kid, beat his little kid up.
I thought it was his wife, but yeah. His wife. I thought it was
He's definitely like repressing rage but about just smashing his family, though.
But it's just cigarettes.
Yeah.
He's just trying to quit cigarettes, clearly. He's
trying to quit cigarettes, I guess.
He's like, I just want to fucking... And she also, she's a terrible therapist, because she's like, well...
Oh.
She's like, all right, next week.
I love the fact that she, like... There's so many reasons she's a terrible therapist, but, like, I actually stopped. I had a note here. I was like, we're going to have a moment where, like, is there ever been a good psychiatrist in a horror movie? Kind of like by nature, a psychiatrist in a horror movie has to be bad at their job or the movie would not work, probably.
I think he was a psychiatrist. The first person that came to mind, and it's a terrible one because literally the plot of the movie is Hide and Seek, the De Niro Dakota Fanning one.
That's a terrible one.
Where he just, if I remember correctly, spoiler, makes her up. I think he killed her at some point. I forget the movie, but you're Brian. That's a good observation. There's never been a good therapist in a horror movie.
No, because if a therapist was good at their job in a horror movie, they would probably like help the person, and then the movie would end, and there wouldn't be any.
But even before the horror starts, man, she's just like, he's like, oh, one more thing, and she's like, huh, nope. Get the fuck out of here.
I like that she leaves him hypnotized and like basically like gritting his teeth and like clenching his fist so hard he's gonna like shatter his own bones, but like just so she can have a weird awkward horny conversation with a teenager in the hallway. She like totally forgets about this guy, but I just love the switch of like regular talk therapy to like, have you ever tried hypnosis? Let's do something. And he's just like, boop, 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 you're hypnotized. I was that good. I don't know. No worries. You're hypnotized.
No lights
now.
Out. No cover your eyes. Just
lay back. I'm going to tap my pencil or say some things and boom, you're hypnotized. I mean, it's fine. I just thought it was very funny. Her like very casual switch to hypnosis. So she goes back to the house again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we get the big body switch while she's there. Like, and she's basically in the room. Like, she comes in and Bruce Davis is sleazy. And then, like, Ace is there. And it's like, no. And then she switches. And then, even though his corpse is laying there, she still is, like, so mesmerized by this kid. She has to bang him right there
in
the office.
Right there. Then gets out of there in a panic.
Well, no, they kind of have, they have the simultaneous orgasm / body switch, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is where she first... supposedly, the way the possession works is there's three possessions. They last a little longer each time, and the third one's final. So, like, you have a first little switch, and then you go back in your own body, and then the next one, it's a little bit longer. And then you go back, and then when they switch you a third time, that's permanent.
That's it.
They've taken your body, and you're left with whatever's wherever they left you. Mm-hmm. Usually a corpse. Usually you're left in a corpse. Which is basically what happens here. The Asa, the young kid, now has whatever the main spirit is in him, and his original personality is in Bruce Davison's body on the floor.
He's dead.
Dead-ish. That's the thing. It's like... The body's because the spirit's
reanimated.
Starts
talking when he fucking holds it up.
Right, can kind of reanimate the corpses, and like, so there's still a chance they could get back, or if there's like, you think the body's dead and you're safe, the spirit can kind of reanimate it. So there's like a weird element going on there, too.
The first thing Heather Graham says to Barbara Crampton, or Ish in the movie, is kill the brain.
Yeah. When she's in the asylum and she's like worried about whatever body, did it get fully destroyed? Yeah.
So you're not wrong. But yeah, that's a wild scene of the murderous just happens. We still got to fuck.
Sex right there next to the body.
And then a talking corpse.
A quick body switch. Also, quick, we have our first little body switch there, so you're having that weird thing happen.
Yeah.
All in the span of like a couple minutes. So she goes to see Barbara Crampton after this, and I love that we have an element here where the bad psychiatrist has her own bad psychiatrist. We're just like Russian nesting dolls of terrible psychiatrists who give bad advice and don't believe their clients.
How could you ever believe your clients, especially a trusted, a colleague, more or less?
Can't believe her. She's crazy.
No, you're nuts. You're just horny. That's basically the, huh, okay, yeah.
Heather Graham has a haunt dream where she's sitting on the, I called it window edging because she's edging on the edge of a window. She starts to dream about the kid going down on her, and then, bah, it's the
old man.
I was getting a mustache ride from Bruce Davidson. No! And then she like falls out the window and then does the thing where when she hits, she wakes up, you know. I like this element. I like the idea of the kid, call him the kid, but the spirit that's in Ace now trapping his own body and then switching with her. So he uses his body to kidnap her. That's fun. That's a fun bit.
No, my thing with this movie is, like, there's strong shit fun here. It's just, I don't love the execution. I don't, like, actually, you know what it is? Not that, like I said, the performances are pretty fun. I don't actually like the filmmaking of the movie. I think it's
I don't think the filmmaking is great.
I think this movie's, you take the same movie, is done better by a better director and script. Like, some things are executed so weird.
I think there's definitely a budgetary limit. I think they're also specifically trying to make it look like a Stuart Gordon movie, like Reanimator, where the budget was low and they were really pushing.
Yeah, but those were at least Reanimator and like Bride of Reanimator, they're like charming, the Stuart Gordon
stuff. Yeah, I agree.
There's a sense of a midnight feature to them. You know, a midnight movie to them.
This one, leans a little bit more into the sex aspect. That's part of it. Although I guess From Beyond's pretty horny. But also I think they kind of wait till the third act. And again, it's probably budgetary to really pull the trigger on a lot of the stuff that they have.
Third act's really fun when we
right.
Go...
And then that's when like you get a lot of the bigger effects and stuff too, like practical effects. So I think that harms it. I think if you could have peppered a little bit more of that through the movie, that
I
would
think
help.
The, like when we're kind of leading there with your breakdown of like when she confronts her husband and then, you know, they have sex and she's possessed and, you know, she's cutting him and the police come and there's that tension there. And then the possession happens again, it removes possession because she's flirting with the cop. And then the husband like kind of plays it. They play him off to be a little possessed too when he's like,
well, no, I don't think he's possessed. I think what it is like,
no, he's not. I'm saying they play it off to be, she's like, what's wrong? He's like, do it again. I've never come like that before.
Exactly. I think he just like goes from zero to freak. He was like,
you've been waiting for
so
that.
So happy, like to like have her let loose like that.
But
you know,
but us saying that, thrilled. I think that section of the movie, which feels really long to me, weighed a lot of it down. Like it's very clumsy.
It's definitely a slower part of the movie. Probably like a little bit of time filler. I think the stuff with like, you could probably just cut out the bit with the cops coming there and just do the stuff with the husband.
That's fine. The stuff with the husband is fine.
I think the stuff
with
the husband is the strong stuff. I think that's all what you need there. I think the stuff with the cops is a little,
like,
yeah, it does weigh it down a little bit.
Yeah, like the stuff with the cops, for them then to not, because they're clearly flirting with the idea of her going after, like, hooking up with the female cop. you don't need to do that, but it never didn't go anywhere from either like a sex or a violence place. It gets undercut then with him coming in like, oh, she's fine. I liked his turn of 0 to 100.
Yeah.
You know, 0 to horny.
Yeah, like, he was just like on board. He's like, well, whatever gets me more of this, I'm like, in. So.
Like,
he's just like, no questions asked. He's like, yep, this was great.
I don't know. Like, put it this way. I gave this a 2 out of 5 on my Letterboxd. I didn't hate it. It's not like, I just,
pretty low.
I think I wanted to, what?
I said, that's pretty low, though. That's
yeah, I said 2.5.
You say you don't hate it, but that's pretty bad. A 2 out of 5 is pretty bad.
2.5, I could give it up to. I think I want to love it. I think I want to always give these props to these type of movies more than, like, you know, like, let's be more critical. Let's be more critical of a high-praised movie like Talk to Me, which I really liked, than, yeah. You know, or The Pope's Exorcist. It's a better example. Like a Stu or Exorcist, like Exorcist prequel. Believer.
Oh, okay.
Or Believer, yeah, Exorcist Believer. Let's be more critical of Believer than yeah. this. I agree with that. So I really don't want to come out of this like stinks.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay if it didn't hit for you. That's I'm not like here to I'm not trying to be I probably like this a little bit better than you did.
You did.
But I don't think this necessarily lives up to the potential of being like a successor to Reanimator or something like that.
No. I don't think that's a good barrage. That's a hard thing to achieve. Like,
right. That's another thing they did. Don't do themselves any favors by like drawing so much attention that way. You kind of set the bar at a certain place as well, you know?
Yeah. Things of like Reanimator and those type of movies, right? It's like Scanners or like, you know, these Meet the Feebles or Dead Alive, whatever you want to call it. A lot of the times, and it's actually the movie we're talking about I watched earlier too, of Destroy All Neighbors. Like these movies we're making today, that's cool they're getting made, that are just homages to these older ones and trying to keep the spirit of them. It works, but it's so hard they nail down that energy and same thing. It's like something like Psycho Gorman. I don't know if you ever gave that a watch.
I did not.
It's a horror comedy. It's
I know. Look, I was kind of annoyed by the kind of promotion of it.
Yeah,
and stuff, you know
like
what I mean?
Power Rangers.
Yeah, like, and stuff. You know, stuff just kind of like turns you off. You see like too many previews of the people that, like kind of talking about it the wrong way, and you're
That movie, which these are also different, is one that truly like feels like then nails the spirit of it all. Is a fun time, and I was hoping Subtle Flesh would be that fun time that Reanimator.
Yeah, I agree. I think I wanted it to just be a little bit more balls out. I wanted to go a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does. Like I said, in the end, and like we can kind of get to the finale. She's had her second possession now. She knows that if he can get a hold of her again. You know, and possess her body again, that'll be it, that's the end. He comes to her office, and this is where we get the plan and payoff for both the hypnosis and the window. She manages to kind of, like, hypnotize him and slow him down and keep him from speaking the magic word that would body switch them again. And then she, you know, throws his ass out, drags his ass out a window, which is pretty, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I said. The ending bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, getting into the actual end. Like I said, we're not quite there yet.
Oh, I know we're not there, but like with the window and like when she stabs him in the head with whatever instrument it is in the hospital, and like runs him over and again. Just
oh, I love the backup camera. Seeing him in the backup camera as she was like running into him. That was a lot of fun.
Because I thought for a second it was going, and this is, and it was just like passion at that time of murder. She could have been like. Ah, patient. My patient attacked me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There are still ways to get away with it, you know, for sure.
But that
catches us up with the
Barbara Crampton. And she's like,
Barbara Crampton and the framing device. We're kind of back in the present, and that's where she's like, you know, Barbara Crampton's like, yeah, he's super dead. She's like, no, you have to destroy the body. Promise me you'll destroy the body. But of course, he gurgles out the magic words and gets back into her body again.
And he does.
While she's talking to Barbara Crampton, which is the second time. I did have to say, speak of bad psychiatrists and people who are supposed to be smart but clearly are not, this is the second time that Barbara Crampton is, like, fully witness to a change. Like, the person is one personality, has a full freak out, and then becomes another person, and still she's does not register, does not, is, like, has not clocked what's going on at all.
Yeah, earlier in the movie, she sees the same exact thing.
It's when he kidnaps himself, or when he uses the kid's body to kidnap her.
She's like, oh, is this some sort of role play or whatever? It doesn't really, Brian, that's a great point that she's just like,
the second time she's seen it now, and she's still not registering. She's like,
The only thing that triggers her to be like, oh my god, it's possession, this isn't real, is she asks possessed Heather Graham, what's my full name, I think it is, or like, what's my first name? And she's like, of course I know what do you mean? You know, like, is this a game? And she goes, oh fuck, calls the orderly over. And this is where I did have fun with it, of like
we're getting into like multiple body jumps here now. We're like switching around. We got the, you know, somebody's in the court. I love the spirit of Heather Graham is trapped in the corpse. Mm-hmm. It's the final move. She can't get back into her body. But like, even though the body is dead, her spirit can animate it just like the other guys could. And she's like, the body's like dragging itself down the hallway, like super slow. And I love just like, people just are seeing it and reacting to it. It's not like a jump scare. It's just like in real time, people are just like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, you gotta see this, Doc.
Yeah, and they're like stopping and looking, and it just keeps coming. That was a lot of fun. A great practical corpse effect, looked really good. But we're getting like, you know, now the thing's trying to get from Heather Graham into Barbara Crampton, and who's who, and they're doing a lot of that, like, no, she's me, shoot her kind of vibe, and that was fun. I enjoy that stuff.
They, like, hold hands to be, like, we're connected or whatever, they say what they said, and then bam, bam, he just shoots him in the head, the corpse in the head, but she comes back, jumps around, and then they have one moment, like, I'm like, oh man, that security guard did not deserve that shoot in the head. You need your one horror movie death that's truly like, this guy did nothing to anyone.
Who was he hurting? Come on.
Although Barbara Crampton trying to take that gun away and then just giving it right over was like, peak act. It was almost like, you know, like when people can't when they're acting, they can't naturally, like, drop water on, like, it's hard to, like, knock a cup on someone. Yeah. That's how that scene plays out. It might be on purpose, too. It was like, oh.
I like, there was good bullet etiquette, though, as far as, like, number of shots to her running out. You know, that was good. I like that. That played perfectly. And then it's basically got your classic Lovecraftian bummer ending where, Barbara Crampton's mind is trapped in Heather Graham's body, locked away in a padded room. The spirit has taken over Barbara Crampton. She's in a position of power now. She's just kind of free to. We get the impression that she's probably going to try to fuck Heather Graham's husband. again.
Yeah,
she clearly enjoyed that.
She's consoling him. Anything you need, a little hand rub. But takes out final tell, takes out the rolly cigarettes.
Yeah.
I do like the vape bit. And that also tells you, ooh, this is like, for me, actually, like I said, I'll give the credit where credit's due. It was like, ooh, this is like right, maybe a day or two right after reanimating into this body. Like, like you see the vape. It's not like that's clearly because you see Barbara Crampton doing it early. Like, this is a thing this woman does in the office. It just takes a rolly cigarette out, it rolls it up, get that last minute smirk. Like, I'm still floating around.
Barbara Crampton doing a great job of channeling that same, you know, like I said, when you're playing possession, everybody has to kind of match, the performances need to match. And I think she's fine. She does a really good job. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's fine. I didn't want to be, like I said, it was a little hard on it.
But, no, I think you're fair to be. I don't think you're under any obligation to like this in any a certain amount.
No,
I think I liked it a little bit better than you, but it's probably not something I'm going to be going back to or anything like that. You know what I mean?
I think that's where my hang up is. I think I personally, like, I've always liked to want to go back and watch these, not H.P. Lovecraft or Stuart Gordon movies, but these type of movies, these like smaller, like, oh, it's a rainy day or whatever. I'll throw this on. It's fun to throw it in the rotation and just the same old, same old. Like, I've seen the movie, like, it's not a perfect movie either, but like Bad Milo, the Ken Marino butt demon movie.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like a few times where no one should see that movie more than once. You know, like,
yeah.
So I think that's where like my kind of like bummerness comes from. It's of,
yeah, personally, I mean, I think it was, like I said, I think it was fine for what it was. I think possibly like going so hard on the tribute aspect hurt it a little bit, because maybe it set expectations a little bit high. But I do think Heather Graham's having a really good time, and it's great to see her back and going for broke. And like, I did think there was a moment where I thought they were going to go body double on her. And I was like, not that I'm like even a horny teen anymore, but I'm like, they really sold this on like horny Heather Graham's big return. And I was like, you're not like, now you're going to, it seems like that's, why would you even bother then? Like, why would you even do it? Like, why would you make such a big deal about it?
But I also
glad that it didn't feel exploitative. The nudity felt appropriate. They didn't like constantly force Heather Graham to just like get naked.
Well,
you know?
She was never nude. Like,
no.
She was suggestive, which,
yeah,
like you said, Heather.
But she did her own like stuff. It wasn't, they didn't like awkwardly cut to a body double or
anything. She looked
like,
great.
She looked great, and she should be confident in herself, and I'm glad they did. I'm glad.
And yeah, that was a surprise. Once again, Subtle Flesh, I kind of assumed it would be like horny, but I was like, oh, okay, this is a lot. But yeah,
I think when you do the thing for this, when you do the, you know, the picture for the cover for the episode, you should change it to Subtle Flesh, because you've been saying Subtle Flesh a lot, and it's Suitable Flesh, but I like Subtle Flesh.
Hey.
I know, it'll look great. Nobody will notice. Subtle. It'll be a subtle change.
I can do that. I can do that.
No, you can. You're very talented. No, I'm just... I'm...
No, that's fine. I literally didn't clock that suitable, subtle. Yeah, dude, it's fine. I love the performance. I feel... Yeah. Another Heather Graham thing
is... I think fine is like a perfect way to describe this movie.
And I feel bad for Heather Graham, because she... Do you know, like, what she was known like... known for of the last like decade or so?
Not really.
She's one of the only people to ever have her sitcom be canceled after like the first commercial break. She had a sitcom, I think it wasn't that long ago. And I mean, obviously, this is what I heard the story recently, you know, rumor or whatever the fuck it is. Goes to commercial, like in the, at least in the pilot, and they cancel that shit. It does not get, they were like, we'll air the rest or we're not. And that's, you know, rough. They finished the episode. And that wasn't that long ago. That was supposed to be like her, you know, like back on NBC.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck it is. What's it called? Ooh, she was in Norm of the North. Yeah. It's a bad badge of honor. So yeah, Heather Graham was known for that, but I might have made that up.
You don't, maybe it wasn't about her. You might be thinking of someone else.
Heather Graham TV show. Am I thinking of another actress?
Yeah, I think you are.
I think I'm thinking of another actress.
This is going to be great. You just have to leave all this in.
TV series. No, you should leave it in. I thought it was sitcom canceled.
It was probably Katherine Heigl.
No, it was Heather Graham.
Oh, okay.
Emily's reasons why not.
That's a terrible name.
It was 2006.
Clunky.
So it wasn't recent.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
It was canceled after a single airing. Apparently they realized that at first. And they shot six episodes, all were unaired. There was a DVD of it.
I feel like it's just one of those things where she's good. She just needs the right project.
She's good. You
know, I'm actually a fan. I know I'm like one of the few. I'm a fan of the Johnny Depp From Hell, the Jack the Ripper movie. And she's like the lead female lead in that. But they make her do an English accent. Don't give Heather Graham an English accent.
Ooh.
Why would you do it?
Ooh,
why?
No. Yeah. Bad. I remember her in of that time. Being in one of you know, like an early memory. Do you remember when they tried to make Kevin American Pie? What's his name? It's not Kevin Klein. It's
Chris Klein. Yeah,
Chris Klein, like a thing.
Oh yeah, didn't they have like
say
a Fairly Brothers style movie together?
Yeah, it was called Say It Isn't So.
Okay.
And I never forget the movie. It's she's the lead, and I think
it's not Fairly Brothers, but it kind of had that same feel.
It's the same
right?
vibe. It's like yeah. that, like Be Myself and Irene or whatever.
Right, kind of gross out rom com.
This is what I remember of it, and it's a good. I think it's a good way to end the episode with a childhood story of you know me watching movies at the age that I shouldn't. So it's 2001, probably 10. If it's on HBO, so it's probably 2002. My parents are away. My grandparents are over watching us, and we grew up with HBO. My brother is probably 13, 14. He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch this movie. You can sit with me, watch it. We're watching it. And I remember my grandparents were also watching it. We were in the basement. They were watching the same movie upstairs. Or ran up, and they're like, get back downstairs. You can't be watching this. Because his assumably probably teen sister in the movie is goth. Is like what these and takes off her shirt and there's these huge like pierced tits, you know, like with like I forget if they're chained or but I never forget that scene and my grandparents being like you guys can't watch this shit and we're watching it down in the basement and probably at that age thinking it's the funniest movie I've ever seen in my life because it's
everything is
and there's no it's probably fucking awful actually it's not probably.
Chris Klein, like, you gotta give it to him. Between Election and American Pie and the Rollerball remake, I mean, that guy was banging him out.
He was. I think one of the best. I'll give him. I think he's great in Christmas, in Just Friends.
Oh, is he in Just Friends?
As the douchebag, like, EMT musician who steals things. And in American Reunion. They made his character be a shitty, like, sports commentator, like, who was, like, on Dancing with the Stars, and he did a great job of being those two, like, so maybe he's just good at playing shitty, but
yeah. I mean, hey, I'm on the record.
He cashed that
shit. Election is, like, one of my favorite movies. It broke him out by basically, I think he was just playing a version of himself. I think he's just kind of, like, a nice dumb guy who got lucky, and there's nothing wrong with that.
He cashed that shit in.
Yeah.
He's apparently on 30 episodes of Sweet Magnolias or whatever that is. He worked. The Benchwarmers 2.
Oh.
He's really,
Oof. With a straight-to-DVD sequel of a John Hader, David Spade vehicle, huh? Rough.
Oh, man. The worst part is I gotta watch Rollerball soon because How Does It Get Made just covered it. And I'm like, date night.
I've never seen original James Caan Rollerball, let alone the remake.
I did listen to the episode, and Jason Mantzoukas was like, honestly, watch the James Caan one if you want to watch any form of Rollerball, but I don't recommend either.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably just better James Caan movies to enjoy.
Yeah, man, you can watch Thief.
Yeah,
all right.
Just watch Thief again.
I'm going to ring this back in, even though I was the one on the tangent. But Suitable Flesh, not Subtle Flesh.
Subtle
Flesh. Yeah, man. No, I'm glad we talked about it, and like I like.
It's not, like I said, it's fun to do a new release. That's a blast.
Yeah, we should try to give the.
You know, there's one. I'll put it out there right now. I just saw a trailer for the next Oz Perkins movie, Long Legs. I would love to check that
out. We got to cover that. That's Cage.
I'm actually a fan. I know everybody loves Black Coat's Daughter, but I actually think Oz Perkins' second movie, Gretel and Hansel, with Sophia Lillis from the It movies, I really like it. It's really moody and atmospheric.
You're the one who told me about that. You've recommended that, and it's funny you say, you know, everyone loves Black Coat's Daughter, because I vividly remember that was released, asking different horror, before we did this show, different horror people, you know, what's this about? And no one gave it a thumbs up. They were like, really? It wasn't for me. And that was like,
I always felt like that one got a pretty good reception, but maybe I'm just, you know, running
circles. No, I think it did. I think it got a fine reception, but at the time, if I remember correctly, that was, the same internet publications of like Collider, Screen Junkies. It was like,
yeah,
Perry Nemiroff and
Clark Duke.
No, the girl, the woman.
I know.
Yeah,
I wish it was Clark Duke though.
It was Clark Duke. Clark Duke was like, shit. No,
what's going on with Clark Duke? Where's he at? What happened to him? Where's he? Where'd he go?
No, he was the Barry Keoghan just absorbed
every weirdo role, even those ones.
Yeah, it's like, oh, funny weirdo role. I'm taking it now. I'm gonna do hot ones in a tank top, like for some weird reason. Anyway, Brian, anything else to add?
No. I would still recommend checking this movie out. You know, if you watch our show for that sort of thing. I know we don't rate or rank, but like just as like a as a curiosity, it's worth a watch. You're not going to feel like you wasted your time
watching it. Yeah, check it out. I'd be very curious to know what everyone thinks. Yeah. All right.
Great episode, Joe. I know that it was a tough one for you. We struggled through it.
We made it. It was maybe your best one. We talked a lot. All right.
Said a lot of things.
Stay frightful. See you next time.
Stay frightful.
Bye.
Welcome to Flyover State of Fear.